The movie is explicitly anti-colonialist, also okay. anti-capitalist. Nice. A lot like the Avatar movies and that kind of thing, because that's where James Cameron comes from. Yeah, we're going to get back to that. I saw your face, Katie. We're getting back to that.
Welcome to Electric Enthusiasm, the podcast where we celebrate unironic enthusiasm. I know Sigourney Weaver exists in this world, and I think she's going to be relevant today. That's all I got. I'm Katie Cobalt.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I'm Alexander Kiev, and I am such a huge fan of the Alien movies that I once went to a showing of all four of them. Yeah. And people were like there with duvets and sleeping bags, and it was amazing. So that's where I come from.
That is incredible. Yes. And you know, you were in a sleeping bag, though. Did you?
I did not. I forgot to bring my sleeping bag.
So, Alex, can you please tell us how this episode of the podcast is gonna work?
Yes! I'm gonna present a topic that I love, but that you apparently know very little about. That's amazing. That's how we do it. And I'm gonna try my damn hardest to spread my enthusiasm to you, Katie, and to all of you listeners. Sometimes in this podcast, we have guests on, not today though, who are super excited about something that we know nothing about.
And then we have the moment of meta, where we nerd out about enthusiasm itself, talk about why it matters, and talk about how you can live a more enthusiastic life.
Yes, because the world needs more enthusiasts. And you should share your enthusiasm with us on our website, electricenthusiasm.com, or our Instagram at electricenthusiasm. Tell us what you're excited about these days. You can even plain old send us an email at hello@electricenthusiasm.com. Excellent. So today we're talking about the movie called Aliens. What do you know about the Alien movies, Katie?
They are aliens. I think I've seen them. They're like the ones that are like smooth on top and black with like the wiry things come out the back. Sigourney Weaver's in it.
Yeah.
She kicks ass.
Yes.
Is this also the one with the chest coming out?
That's the one.
Oh shit. Okay, I was fully guessing on that one. I've seen Spaceballs, so I've seen that scene parodied. Like if that counts,
yeah,
then I've seen a section of Alien.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I've also seen on Corridor Crew, I think they reacted to the final fight scene between Sigourney Weaver and the big alien where she's in the
mecha suit, yeah. In the loader.
She's in like a yellow tube device thing. I think I've seen that sequence broken down on Corridor Crew because they used miniatures or something. I don't remember why they showed it, but that's all I got.
So you've never actually sat down and watched any of the Alien movies?
They seem scary. Are they scary? I'm concerned. Are they scary?
They are super scary.
Yeah, squishy marshmallow here. Come on.
I know. And we're going to watch some clips, but no scary clips. I promise. No jump scares, no nothing.
Thank you.
Don't worry.
We like to start with the facts first here on the podcast. So what exactly should a person know about all four aliens? Is there more than four? How many? Alex, how many movies are there?
So there are six of them. But in this episode, we're going to talk about the second one, which is called Aliens. It's a movie from 1986, and it was written and directed by James Cameron. It is, in my opinion, one of the greatest of the classic 80s movies. Mm. And it was a critical and a commercial success. So Aliens from 1986 is a direct sequel to Ridley Scott's Alien, the first movie from 1979, and also stars Sigourney Weaver as Ripley. Yes. In one of my absolute favorite roles of hers. In Alien, the first one, there's a cargo ship that is invaded by this horrible alien, and it slowly kills off the crew until there's only one survivor, that's Sigourney Weaver, Ripley, and she manages to escape in a lifeboat. That was Alien.
Okay.
And this, we're talking about the sequel, Aliens, because now there's more of them.
Excellent,
exactly. Ripley goes back to the planet where they originally found that one alien with a group of really super tough space marines to investigate and handle this threat.
Girl, like, I think those aliens killed all of your friends.
Yeah.
And you decide to go, like, I'm sorry. I question the thought process behind Ripley. Like, why would you go back?
Yeah.
No, silly. Don't do that. And also, like, They're not hurting you. Like, leave them be. Like, this feels like kind of very, like, American imperialism kind of thing. Like, they hurt us, so we're going to go bomb them. Like, no, just leave it be. Just don't go there.
Yeah, well, there's actually a lot more to it than that.
Okay.
And the movie sets it up really well and explores Ripley's motivation for going back.
Why? Why did she do it?
Turns out that a long time has passed since so when... Okay.
Facts first or spoilers first?
Yeah, exactly. So at the end of the first movie, she's in this lifeboat, right? And she's far from everything. So she goes into the sleep pod.
Yeah.
Right? And then she drifts for a while. It turns out she's been drifting for 57 years.
Oh, snap. That's a long time.
Then they find her lifeboat. And it turns out, in the meanwhile, the planet has been colonized. So there are now families living on LV-426.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and suddenly they lose contact with the colony, and they're like, now what do we do? And also, she has PTSD, she has bad nightmares from her time.
Really?
And it's like, yeah, and that's really exactly. And she figures that the best way to do it is to face her trauma head on and go back and actually deal with it. So it's actually...
Or
it's actually
therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or therapy as a concept. Just maybe...
Yeah.
Next time we try talking to someone about our traumas.
That could also be a way to do it.
Yeah.
Also, the movie is explicitly anti-colonialist, anti-capitalist,
nice.
A lot like the Avatar movies and that kind of thing. Because that's where James Cameron comes from. Yeah, we're gonna get back to that. I saw your face, Katie. We're getting back to that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not unproblematically anti-capitalist.
No, and also he's not exactly, like, on the right side of the storytelling when it comes to colonialism either.
No. I would say the message is actually way better in Aliens than it is in Avatar. There is talk of making an Alien 5 with Sigourney Weaver coming back and playing Ripley. And that I could kind of get excited about, possibly, potentially.
I mean, she is really fucking cool.
She is so incredible. She's a great actress, and in these movies, she's so badass.
Yep.
So incredibly badass.
I think I know a thing. Is it true that her character was originally written without gender and they just cast it blind? Or is that a myth?
That was for the first Alien movie, all characters were written gender neutrally. They're all referred to by their last names. That's also why she's called Ripley. So that is true.
I did know a thing.
There you go.
Taught me something.
There you go. And the gender presentation in Aliens is super interesting and one of the things we're going to talk about.
Nice.
Because I think actually James Cameron nailed that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Was that all the facts you had? I definitely interrupted you a lot on there.
That was the facts I had.
Okay, cool. So Alex, why are we talking about Aliens today?
Three reasons. First of all, Avatar 2 is in movies now. Have you seen it? Are you going to go see it?
Honestly, I'm not that interested.
No, me neither.
I think Avatar, the first Avatar, is like the most interesting phenomenon because it was a massive blockbuster success. Everyone went to go see it. No one can name a single character, tell me any plot. It's just like Blue Pocahontas. It seems to have made no cultural impact whatsoever.
It made like billions of dollars, but no impact.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm not super interested to see Avatar The Way of Water. I'm just not, I don't care. Like,
I feel the same way. So the thing is that Aliens was James Cameron's second or third movie, depending on how you count it. The movie he'd made right before that was Terminator with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which of course became a huge hit. But you have to remember that he made that on a tiny budget and he was completely unknown at the time. It was a complete miracle that the movie became the hit it became. A lot of the filming for Terminator was like guerrilla filming. They didn't have permits to film anywhere in Los Angeles, so they just show up somewhere, hurry up and film, and they get out of there before the cops came. Arnold Schwarzenegger was interviewed for one of his Conan movies, and they asked him, so what are you working on now? And he says, well, I'm going to do this shitty little movie. It's going to take a couple of weeks, and then hopefully that'll be over with. That was Terminator.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Before that, the only thing James Cameron had done before Terminator was Piranha 2. Let me just get the title right here. Piranha 2, The Spawning.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
It has a 3.7 rating on IMDb. It's also worth noting that he was fired from directing the movie after 5 days. There's a whole story about that. Apparently, there was this Italian producer who wanted to direct it himself, but the studio would only give him money if he found an American director. James Cameron is Canadian. So he hired him and then fired him after 5 days and then directed the whole thing himself. And it's terrible. But it still lists James Cameron as director. If you go on IMDb, he's still the officially the director of the movie. That's where James Cameron came from. And if he hadn't made Aliens such a great movie, and if it hadn't succeeded, we wouldn't have gotten things like Terminator 2, Titanic, Avatar, and Avatar Way of Water.
I'm trying to think, like, I honestly, like, James Cameron is one of those directors where, like, I know his name, I know he's famous, I don't actually know what he did. Hang on.
No. You know how many movies he's directed? Best guess.
Oh, I'm on his IMDb page.
Yeah.
Best guess. Okay, before I look, 105.
Eight,
what?
He's directed 8 movies. 9 if you count Piranha 2, The Spawning.
So he... I mean, according to IMDb, it's 25.
Well, that's shorts and specials and making offs and that kind of thing. So that's one of the reasons why we're talking about Aliens today, is because without Aliens, no Avatar, no Avatar The Way of Water, which is in cinemas right now. Another reason is that Aliens is fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it's one of the rare examples of a sequel that transcends the original. I actually think it's better.
Yeah.
IMDb kind of agrees. Alien, the original, has an 8.5 rating. Aliens has an 8.4.
Yeah.
And both are great movies. They're very different. I mean, very different in tone, in setting, and everything. But I enjoy Aliens so much more. And I'm not the only one. Roger Ebert said...
Hey, he's back!
He's back. He is back. Here's what Roger Ebert said about Aliens.
I'm giving the movie a high rating for its skill and professionalism, and because it does the job it says it will do. I'm not advising you to eat before you go see it. Sorry. I am also not advising you to eat before you go see it. Is it really gross? Oh, gosh. That sounds very gross.
In places, yes. In his movie review, he goes on, he's like, I'm not even sure I can recommend this movie. It's very good, but it's also, he felt bad for a few days after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Good to know.
There is a lot of blood. There is a lot of violence, definitely. And it's super scary in parts.
I also like, isn't it? It's also from the 80s. So there must be a lot of practical effects then.
All practical effects.
We love practical effects.
Yes. We're going to so much gun returns to that.
Yes.
So that's the second reason is that the movie is fantastic. I just watched it last night. And this is from 86. This movie is nearly 40 years old.
This movie is a lot older than I am.
There you go. And it still holds up in pretty much everything it tries to do. It succeeds in so many ways. It's such a great movie. And the third reason we're talking about aliens today is that the aliens are parasites.
Yay!
And we just did an episode about the amazing world of different parasites. Nice. And the aliens here, they start out as eggs. Then you get the facehugger, which latches onto your face, implants something in your body, and then that is the burst out of your chest, grows into a full-blown alien.
And
that's what we saw in the Alien movie, in the 79 movie, and then in the 86 movie, we get to see more of their life cycle, because there are these eggs. Where do the eggs come from? There must be a...
like a big mother? Like queen, a queen bee situation?
Exactly.
Dang.
And we get to meet her, and she is terrifying.
So, the parasitical element of the alien creatures is that part of their life cycle, part of their gestation process is inside another organism.
Exactly.
Cool. So there's eggs, there's a queen that lays eggs, eggs born, facehuggers. Interestingly, as someone who's never seen the film, I know exactly what a facehugger looks like. Like, the cultural impact of this film means that as someone who was born years after the fact, never seen it, I know what all of these aliens look like.
Exactly. Isn't that interesting?
It's very cool. It's very much in the zeitgeist. It's very much part of our culture. Like, I knew the phrase facehugger. Yeah. Never seen this film.
There you go.
It's like the opposite of Avatar.
It kind of is.
It's the opposite.
It kind of is. And it's, you know, Avatar is fine. Aliens is fire.
I like that.
All righty. So I want to talk about 4 reasons why I love this movie. 4 things that make it amazing, worth being enthusiastic about. We are going to spoil the heck out of the movie. Because let's face it, you're not going to watch it, are you?
Well, here's the thing. I have watched horror movies in the past with the caveat that I know exactly what's going to happen, when the jump scares are, and if I'm with other humans and during daylight.
Okay.
There's a very specific categorization that'll happen for me to watch a horror film. And if you spoil the heck out of it, the likelihood of me watching it does go up.
Okay, I'm going to do that. And if you watch it, I want to hear what you think about it, because it is phenomenal. Alrighty, and we're going to look at some clips. And like I said, no scary clips. No jump scares, no nothing in
these. To be fair, I mean, for today, maybe you should send me some more clips after the podcast of jump scares so I know when they are. So in the actual watching of the movie, I'll be prepared.
Yeah, this movie has the mother of all jump scares.
Excellent.
Which is super simple and super effective. If I say the words, it looks like love at first sight. Mm. I think all of the fans will know exactly what scene I'm talking about. It is phenomenal. Alrighty, so four reasons why this movie is amazing. First of all, it is gorgeous. Mm. It's the effects, yes. And as you said, no CGI. We're in 1986. James Cameron came back with Terminator 2, which absolutely had CGI, but there's none of that in Aliens. But it's not just the effects, it's all of the visuals. It's the lighting, it's the set design, it's the props, it's the weapons. Everything just looks amazing. And not just amazing, it just looks believable. You believe in this world. You believe you're there. It is so well done. And I want us to look at the opening scene from Aliens. Tell us what you see.
I mean, it's very classic, like early 80s sci-fi's giant spaceship sequence.
Uh-huh.
But the lighting is very nice.
Isn't it beautiful?
Whoa. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't expecting that to happen. Giant sparks, welding tools coming out. It's really interesting, like the use of color. Like it's like that very classic Hollywood thing of orange and blue tones. Like everything in the frame is very blue tones, and then you have the bright, bright orange sparks.
You know how the Matrix is very green, Aliens is very blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very classic thing to do for like sci-fi, is to have everything blue tinted.
Exactly.
It's like how anytime there's anything set in like. The Middle East, it's all yellow tones.
Yeah, check this out. This is amazing.
Whoa!
Right?
I mean, assumably that's just like, they just had lasers and smoke.
Yeah. Lasers and smoke. Cool. What more do you need? Isn't that gorgeous?
Nothing. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, look, that's...
Oh, there she is. There she is.
Hi.
Yeah. What do you think?
It's really pretty.
Yeah.
Also, my parents really love sci-fi, so if you're watching a lot of sci-fi, like that classic shot of giant spaceships floating in space, like it's just, it's one of those things that like, it's so iconic, it's so lovely, and also I'm thinking I'm going to do an episode on Spaceballs. I love Spaceballs so much.
I love Mel Brooks. Oh man.
So good.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, like what's really interesting to me as well, because I'm assuming it's all miniatures, the texture of the spaceship elements, it looks like a Hollywood spaceship, because in the 80s, everyone was doing miniatures and it all looks really cohesive to like what my brain visualizes as like a 1980s, early 90s spaceship aesthetic. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so used to seeing it, it makes it more realistic in a way, because they're using this practical effect.
We're used to that visual language.
Exactly. That's how to say it all fancy.
It's the filming, it's the cinematography, it's the lighting, it's the smoke, a lot of smoke in this movie. It's amazing,
but also like the way the smoke and the light interplay, like that's what makes it pretty.
Yes, exactly. We're gonna come back to some examples of that. It's so cool. But it's also the props, it's the world they live in. And if we go to the second clip,
I should have worn a jumpsuit. That's what I
should have. Hi, I feel like kind of a fifth wheel around here. Is there anything I can do?
I don't know. Is there anything you can do?
I love that line. Is there anything that you can do?
Well, I can drive that loader. I have a
that little look they gave each other.
Oh my god. Him chewing his cigar. It's real gnarly. Also, I imagine like this moment in like, because it's a sequel, right? She's already used this machine to kill an alien.
James Cameron's invention. And the way she steps in, locks it down, this just looks real.
I believe
orange flashing light on top, right? Right? Like on a forklift.
That's very cool. Was this a real thing? Could she actually use it? Or was it
controlled separately? This was all cardboard and a stuntman behind her operating the arms.
Fuck off, this is cardboard.
I know, right? And some of it is miniatures. That.
That cigar is disgusting, yeah, the way it's all chewed up.
Here comes one.
Oh, you can tell the guy in the background's a miniature.
Yeah, exactly.
Here stop motion.
Where you want it?
Did you catch that? One of my favorite lines in the movie.
Where do you want it?
Where do you want it? 12, like, just like, yeah. Kind of completely factual, like, where do you want it?
Yeah. I will say, that was really fucking cool. It was really awesome. That cigar is disgusting. The way he is, like, chewing on it, and then, like, he takes it out, and you can see, like, the end of it's like,
Yeah.
Do people actually do that with cigars? I feel like that's not a thing you do with
cigars. I think it's a Hollywood, tough Marine soldier kind of thing to do that.
Like, I'm a man, look at me, my cigar.
One of the funniest moments in the movie is they're all waking up in their sleep pods, the Marines, when they arrive at this planet. So the sleep pods open. His first act is to put the cigar in his mouth.
Your character trait is cancer.
Exactly. There's even a line in the movie, you're going to get lip cancer from smoking that.
Yeah.
So this scene, I think, it's fantastic. I think the loader is amazing. It's a phenomenal concept. That is, of course, brought back in the ending of the movie. We're going to return to that later on. So the movie just looks fantastic. One of my favorite details is that each of the Marines, their armor is customized.
Ooh.
There are little decals, badges, stuff written on it.
Yeah.
The pilot is called Dietrich. And on the back of her helmet, it says Blue Angel, which is a movie that Marlene Dietrich stars in. So the pilot has a blue in that, you know, that's just
the little details. There's so
much of that in this, and it makes the whole world just look super believable. Reminds me a lot of Mad Max Fury Road in that respect.
Oh yeah,
where everything again had a backstory, not just every character but every prop, every car had a backstory. And the same thing is going on here. And also I think it's worth noting that James Cameron did all of this on a budget of $18.5 million.
That would
be $50 million today, but still.
I mean, considering, like, miniatures is expensive as well.
Yeah.
And getting all that sorted out, like, that's very impressive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had to get super creative. So, do we agree this movie looks amazing?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
So cool. The second reason I love this movie is it's the script. And, of course, Cameron wrote it. And the script it's great, but it's so tight. It's so economical. There's nothing is wasted. Every single scene in this movie serves to further the plot. It serves to entertain the audience, and it serves to tell us who these people are, give us character development. Let's watch a clip. So this next clip is just after the ship has arrived at this planet, LV-426, and the Marines have just woken up. And there are a lot of them. There are like 10 of them, and we're trying to find out who these people are.
Okay.
So here's a little clip of that.
Hey, Bishop, man. Do the thing with the
knife. Please.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Do it, man. This is great.
All right. Yeah.
Check this out.
I don't want to see that, man.
Come on, man. All right.
Hey, what are you doing, man? Hey, what are you doing?
Come on,
quit messing
around. Why? Whoa.
Bishop, dude. Hey, man.
Do it, Bishop.
Hey, no.
Whoa. Hey,
come on, quit messing around.
Don't move.
Come on.
Trust me.
Don't trust him.
Trust me.
Enjoy your meal.
That wasn't funny, man.
But you were the one who fucking started it, bro.
That wasn't funny. Exactly. Once you're in here, this is important.
Yeah.
Super important.
Looks like the new lieutenant's too good to eat with the rest of us, Grants.
Boy's definitely got a corn cob up his ass.
Here.
You never miss, Bishop.
You never said anything about an android being on board. Why not?
It never occurred to me.
Oh, he's an android.
It's common practice. We always have a synthetic on board.
That's cheating.
I prefer the term artificial person myself.
That's a great line.
Is there a problem?
I'm sorry. I don't know why I didn't even... Ripley's last trip out, the artificial person malfunctioned.
Malfunctioned?
There were problems, and a few deaths were involved.
I'm shocked. Was it an older model?
Yeah, the Hyperdyne system's 128.2.
Well, that explains it, and the A2s always were a bit twitchy. That could never happen now with our behavioral inhibitors. It is impossible for me to harm or by omission of action allow to be harmed a human being. You sure you don't want some?
Just stay away from me.
But you did the knife thing. How can you...
I guess you don't like the cornbread either.
Guess you don't like the cornbread. Interesting. That was a very effective scene.
Right? We get told so much. So the lieutenant is new. Bishop is an android. Bishop kind of wants to please.
Yeah.
That's why he agrees to do the knife trick, right? He
you wants also to be have like the very like toxic masculinity, like, yeah, bro, do the knife thing, do the knife thing. And like them clearing out space to do that as well.
Yeah, the guy who does that, that's Hudson.
Yeah.
And he's clearly the Joker, the funny guy. But also he gets really scared. He's a coward.
Yeah. Also he has a soul patch, the poor fucker.
Yeah. And is super entertaining.
Yeah.
And at the same time we get to learn a lot and we see how these people interact.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one example of the amazing script of Aliens. Mm. Also, I think Aliens doesn't get enough credit for how funny it actually is. There's a lot of great humor in it.
Hey, Vasquez.
Have you ever been mistaken for a man?
No. Have you?
That's an excellent comeback. That is so good.
Right? Right? Have you ever been mistaken for a man?
No, have you? Oh, man.
That is just fantastic. Also, Vasquez, the woman here, is the most badass of all of the Marines. And she's a true badass. Hudson wants to be a badass.
But he will never be a badass because he has a soul patch.
The soul patch needs to go. Absolutely. That's what's holding him back.
Really, truly.
Yeah.
Really.
The other thing that the script does incredibly well is that it builds the tension and the stakes.
Mm.
It just ratchets it up. It actually starts out quite slow. And we don't see a single alien for, I think, the first 40 minutes of the movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But then things just go from bad to worse and worse and worse. They arrive at this base. They only find a single girl.
Yeah.
And none of the other colonists are there. They find out that they've all been taken somewhere else, which is under this power plant. So they're like, let's go there in our tank and rescue them. They show up with all their weapons. Then they found out that because they're under the power plant, they can't use their weapons because they might puncture the coolant and set off a nuclear explosion.
Oh,
so suddenly none of their weapons will work, right?
Yeah.
Then they get attacked by the aliens. Half of them are killed or abducted to be implanted with, they manage to make it out of there. They call in their ship so they can fly up to the big ship. But an alien has already infiltrated their shuttle. So that crashes. Now they're stranded on the planet. then they're like, so when is rescue going to come for us? We can't communicate. When are they going to? And they're like, 17 days. Now they have to survive 17 days on this planet. Then it turns out that they actually shot some aliens in the power plant. It's actually exploding in 4 hours.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so now they have that to deal with. Then the little girl gets kidnapped. Gets taken away to be implanted with an embryo. Now they have to go rescue her. It just ratchets up the tension every step of the way. I think Roger Ebert said it best.
Quote, Aliens is absolutely, painfully, and unremittingly intense for at least its last hour. I have never seen a movie that maintains such a pitch of intensity for so long. It's like being on some kind of hair-raising carnival ride that never stops. So it sounds like it's like a very slow beginning, and then all of a sudden, once it hits 100, it stays at 100.
Yes, that's it. Okay. No, that it accelerates from there. It just gets faster and faster and worse and worse. And it is amazing. Like Ebert, I've never seen another script that manages to do it in quite such an effective way, where the stakes are just constantly raised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super cool.
And one thing I like about this is that then all of this tension is released in the final climactic fight between Ripley and the mother alien, the queen alien, okay?
Mm.
And in many of these types of horror movies, the monster is defeated through some internal weakness that the monster has that heroes discover and exploit. I think a great example is in Star Wars, the Death Star.
I was just about to say that.
Right?
I was being like, like, are you saying it's not like the Death Star?
Yeah. All of the tension that's been built up is released when Ripley directly fights the alien queen mano a mano using that loader suit that we set up in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
All of that tension is released masterfully with possibly the best line in any action movie ever.
Oh my God, with the suit. This is the clip that they watched on Corridor.
Exactly. Backlight, smoke. Notice the smoke. Here she comes. And here's the line. Here's the line.
Get away from her, you bitch.
Yes, this is the alien I've seen. This is that the closest. But like, again, with the orange and blue, like contrasting colors, really good for like making it stand out.
Yes, exactly.
Oh no, I want to watch this. This is interesting. Because like, it's like miniatures, it's puppetry. It's really cool.
Yeah. So they had miniatures. They also had a full-size queen alien operated by two people.
And also, like, really clever design to have the light on Ripley's face so we can see her reactions to everything.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine while you're operating that suit, that must be really fucking annoying.
No shit.
That tail, that's danger, danger, danger.
Uh-huh.
I'm very, like, in it now. Sorry, I'll stop watching. Hello.
I was crying.
It's cool. I want to see them fight. Like, I like fight scenes. A good fight scene is entertaining.
Yeah, and that's where you get at the very end. No guns, no flamethrowers, no grenades, just mano a mano, which I think is fantastic.
I love you keep saying mano a mano. It's Ripley's in a suit. Like, that counts as a weapon, I feel like.
Well, the forklift's like big hands, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's not a weapon. It's a tool. Which I think is interesting.
I have muted it and I'm still watching it.
It's fantastic. It is so amazing. It's such a great scene. And it releases all of that tension in such a great way. And that's one of the things that makes this script so good.
The puppetry of the alien's mouth is really well done.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Cool. Okay. I'll start watching. Sorry. Hi. Hello. I'm paying attention to you.
That's good.
Hi.
Maybe you will watch the movie after all.
I think I need to organize it. I think I need to make sure I have some friends to watch it with.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Final thing that makes this script so amazing is that there is no romantic subplot.
Yeah!
Yes!
Yes! I hate an unnecessary romantic subplot. Yes. This is what I'm here for.
Yes. And it would have been so easy. There is one soldier who sort of connects with Ripley. Not Hudson with a soul patch. The different guy, Hicks. but there's no kiss, there's no sex. It would have been so easy to throw that in there.
Yeah.
And they fucking do not. There's one scene where it could have happened, and we're going to watch that, because that scene actually builds their relationship a little bit and shows us something really interesting about both Hicks and Ripley.
For what it's worth. Here, I want you to put this on.
What's it for?
It's a locator. Uh-huh. Then I can find you anywhere in the complex on this. It's just a precaution.
That look.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we're engaged or anything. All right, what's next?
Yeah. I like it. Like, it's because it doesn't need, it's like a moment of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And that's all it needs to be.
It's a moment of connection between these two people.
Yeah. I also really like the very, like, realistic moment of him undercutting it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a moment of connection and he's immediately like, but it's not like we're engaged or anything. Like, that feels really realistic to me. That feels really human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, I was vulnerable. I was open. But, like, fucking, no, I wasn't. Nope.
Yeah.
Like, that feels really real to me. And I also, I don't know, the thing I don't like about unnecessary romantic subplots is they feel really forced. They feel like we have to have romance here, otherwise bad things will happen. Like, we have to have romance. We have to have this moment.
Yeah.
But having it be something as, like, small as, like, he's just worried about her. Mm-hmm. Why he's worried about her, it could be platonic, it could be romantic. No one knows. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But it doesn't need to be this, like, oh, yeah, no, that's great. Love it.
Yes.
Thank you.
More of that, please.
Exactly. Does not need to be romantic.
Yeah. Alrighty. The third reason why this movie is amazing is the acting. I think we just saw that in this scene. This is a nice quiet scene in the middle of all the horror and action and chaos. But all of those little looks, there's a little look he gives her right before he, you know, picks up the courage to give her the tracker.
Yeah.
There's a little look in his eyes like, okay, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
The interplay between those, so that's just phenomenal acting. Sigourney Weaver is fantastic in this.
I mean, she's a legend.
Yeah, she is. And she actually got the Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Drama for Aliens. Bill Paxton, who plays Hudson, Soul Patch guy, phenomenal, hilarious in this movie.
Yeah.
Michael Biehn, who plays Hicks, the guy we just saw, is fantastic.
Yeah.
I also want to mention that James Cameron encouraged some improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the most memorable lines from the movie are indeed improvised. There's one where Hudson goes, "Game over, man, game over." That was improvised. That was not in the script. I think that's phenomenal. All righty. Final reason why this movie is amazing is the gender roles in the movie.
Yeah.
I really don't think this is something Cameron does on the regular. His other movies have fairly traditional gender roles where the males are the heroes and the women need rescuing to some degree. That's definitely an Avatar. But for Aliens, Ripley is clearly the protagonist, clearly the hero here. She is what makes shit happen. She is the most capable and the smartest person in the entire cast.
Yeah.
People quickly defer to her and she becomes the leader. That little clip we saw earlier where Hicks gives her the tracker ends with him asking, okay, what's next? What do we do now?
Yeah.
She has authority. She has a plan. And he's happy to defer to her, even though he is this super tough space marine.
Yeah.
That is amazing and something you don't see in a lot of 80s action movies. Just for comparison, let's go back to Star Wars. We have Princess Leia, who is, she is super tough. Yeah, but she really also constantly needs rescuing.
Yeah.
And first she's like the romantic interest for Luke. And then we find out she's her sister. And then she, boom, quickly falls in love with Han Solo instead.
Yeah. And also, if we're going off to like Star Wars and the lack of feminism there, like the romance, the wooing of Princess Leia by Han Solo is incredibly problematic. And like she continually says no and sets a boundary with him. And he continually denies her boundaries and borderline abuses her. I've seen those moments where I've said no. I've seen those moments where I've not been listened to, where someone has taken my no as a try harder. And it's like, no. And it's because of movies like this. And it's because of characters like that where men think that no isn't real. Men think that no is a I'm playing hard to get. Bitch, I'm not. I'm really not. I don't want you. Yeah.
That's a good point. That is a good point. And here in this movie, none of that bullshit. And I think that's so refreshing. So Ripley is clearly the hero here. She is the most badass person, the most capable, the smartest, and the one who makes shit happen. Another point in favor of feminism in this movie is that the four people who make it out are the four people who have shown any kind of caring about other people, any kind of feminine side to themselves. So Hicks, Newt, the little girl, Ripley, and Bishop, the android with the knife trick.
Oh, we saw
Sorry, not android, the artificial person. I prefer the term artificial person. Those are the people who make it out. All the super tough space marines, they're all gone.
Yay!
So that's another feminist aspect of this movie.
Empathy wins.
Exactly. Also, it's worth noting that the main monster is female and is motivated by protecting its young. That being said, not everybody agrees that this is a feminist movie. There have been critiques of it.
Quote, Aliens is not about feminism, female empowerment, motherhood, or even colonialism. Rather, it's about women who've been duped into serving the patriarchy. Interesting. That's a very interesting take.
So the critique is that at the end of the movie, Ripley goes into the alien hive.
Yeah.
Where all these aliens are and the alien queen is to rescue this little girl whom she barely knows. They just met, right?
Yeah.
And everybody was like, that's motherhood. That's patriarchy. She would never do that. That's irrational. I disagree wildly. So what I did was I actually found a master's thesis about this.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
The level of nerdery on this.
I know, right? So I found a master's thesis from Whitney Ansbach at the University of Rhode Island called The Study of Gender Representations Within the Aliens Series. I didn't read the whole thing. I read the chapter about aliens, and I found a really interesting quote. Try reading that.
Quote, here is an excellent example of how constantly examining gender representation can create certain biases on the part of researchers. try to imagine Hicks attempting to save Newt while Ripley stays injured but safe in the spaceship. Hicks would be viewed as a masculine and gallant hero, rescuing a helpless little girl from danger after making sure that his love interest was safe. Instead, Ripley is the irrational female who is risking her own life as well as the life of others to save her quote-unquote daughter, who is probably already dead. Ironically, if Hicks had usurped Ripley in her role as the hero, film critics would have undoubtedly raked Cameron over the hotter coals than Pendley did. Okay. I feel like also like saving the little girl, I feel like any hero, regardless of gender representation or gender presentation, would have done that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I find most interested about the first quote you sent is this concept of serving the patriarchy. So for me, that has less to do with embodying both masculine or feminine traits. Mm-hmm. That is more to do with, is there within this universe a structure that rewards men in a way that doesn't reward women? Because
mm-hmm.
for me, like, that's what patriarchy means. Patriarchy is like the inbuilt structural sexism that we have in our society that rewards men and does not reward women, non-binary, trans people.
Good point.
So that's what I'm more interested, like that phrase, serving patriarchy, is very interesting. So I would argue, like, seeing Vasquez's character, from what little I've seen of her, that feels like the only way she's allowed to present as a strong, confident person is to present masculinely,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, she has very short hair. She's engaging in traits that are masculine in order to conform to the patriarchal standard. She's allowed to be empowered as long as she is empowered in a masculine way, because the patriarchy says that masculinity good, femininity bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And the world that Ripley lives in is absolutely still patriarchal.
Yeah.
However, Ripley is not part of that. Ripley is explicitly very critical and skeptical of that.
Mm.
And she survives because she's not like that.
Yeah.
And they die because they are like that.
Yeah.
So the movie contains patriarchy, but it criticizes the patriarchy. I would argue.
I would need to watch it to have a better understanding.
I think you should.
I will say something I have seen from like what I know of the film and also the clips you've shown me is at no point is the male gaze utilized to objectify either the female characters that I've seen thus far.
Nope.
They're shot the way that everyone else is shot.
She's dressed like everybody else is dressed in a jumpsuit. Yeah.
Like, she is not given any like special sexy version of the outfit. She's not wearing those stupid wedge heel boots they give to every female sci-fi person or like superhero. Like, fucking those fucking wedge boots drive me insane because they look deeply uncomfortable and they have to fight and run and do all the same sci-fi superhero bullshit as their male counterparts, but wearing those,
exactly. No, there's none of that bullshit. None of that bullshit. She's not sexualized in any way at all in this movie. I think it's, again, phenomenal.
So, like, from what I've seen and what I understand is that she's humanized.
Yes.
Which, for me, that is a version of fighting against the patriarchy. Like, humanizing the female lead in a sci-fi film and not objectifying them.
Yes. Absolutely.
And for me, that's nice feminism in action.
Yes. So those were my four reasons why Aliens is amazing. There is one more thing we need to talk about. And that is that the making of Aliens was an utter, complete shit show.
That sounds fabulous.
Yes. So James Cameron, this is his first big studio production. First time he has a huge budget. He's under massive pressure to deliver. They're shooting it at Pinewood Studios in London.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. So I want you to imagine this. You're a fairly new director, right? You've gone to a different country to shoot this movie. It's incredibly complicated. And James Cameron is a perfectionist, right? He wants everything just so. The smoke, the light, the shots, everything, right? And you're setting up this super complicated shot. And you have the smoke just right. You have the light just right. And you're about to yell action when suddenly the big studio doors open. You know, the smoke pours out. Light comes in. And in comes a lady with a tea cart. Because it's 2:00, it's tea time. You're in Britain.
You're in the UK. Tea is very important.
Yeah, and all the crew just leave their posts and they go have a cup of tea and a cheese roll, and then 15 minutes later they're back. Cameron did not appreciate that,
wow.
And allegedly he did at one point kick over the tea cart.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there was so much conflict and tension here. Part of that was cultural and the tea breaks, right? Part of it was maybe that Ridley Scott is British. Uh-huh. And he had filmed Alien at Pinewood Studios, so the crew knew him, they liked him, he was one of them, and here comes a new guy, unknown Canadian, who's a perfectionist, and he's very demanding. He's a bit of an asshole, to be honest.
I was recently a behind-the-scenes dancer for The Crown, which was, again, shot in the UK.
Yeah.
I will say, that's not a thing anymore.
Okay.
The tea cart,
nope.
The breaks that just happen because it's a certain time. So at least I can say nowadays, most shoots, at least the shoots I've been on, you break when the director allows you to break.
Yeah.
You don't get to have like a tea cart come in anymore. Sadly.
Yeah. Apparently, James Cameron is known for being difficult to work with, very demanding. Some people say he's great and he pushes them to perform better. Some people say he's a complete asshole.
Mm.
Here's a little clip from the Golden Globes, where Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are introducing the whole ceremony. And
I love those two.
They're amazing. So let's watch this and hear what they have to say.
It was a great year for film. Women in film, Kathryn Bigelow nominated tonight.
Oh my God, you see Mogis in the front, but looking very concerned.
I haven't really been following the controversy over Zero Dark Thirty, but when it comes to torture, I trust the lady who spent 3 years married to James Cameron.
Oh, no, no, no. My favorite thing about that is if you look at the clip, like everyone's faces is incredible. Mm-hmm. And then Joaquin Phoenix is just like, he's like, don't look at me. Like, I think he knows he's on camera as well.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't actually know her name. The redhead. Is it Jessica Chastain? Her face is incredible. Her reaction is so good.
James Cameron, he has a bit of a reputation. But after the shoot was over at Pinewood Studios, this is what he told the crew.
Okay. Quote, "This has been a long and difficult shoot, fraught by many problems. But the one thing that kept me going through it all was the certain knowledge that one day I would drive out of the gate of Pinewood and never come back. And that you sorry bastards would still be here." Oh man.
Right?
He sounded like he had a great time.
Yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It was a terrible time for all involved. But out of that came what I believe honestly is a masterpiece that transcends its genre and holds up to this day nearly 40 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You sorry bastards.
You sorry bastards.
Oh, so good.
Katie, what do you think of Aliens now that I've gone on about it for basically an hour? Holy
basically
shit.
Basically an hour. I now know more about it. So it's one of those films, like we said at the beginning, like it's in the zeitgeist. I knew about it. I knew what it looked like. But I didn't know this level of detail about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super interesting. I'm way, 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 way more likely to actually watch the film now.
Yes, yes.
I will have to get you to send me some time codes for when I need to mute it for jump scares. It's one of those films I've heard about, I've known about it, but I've never seen it. And so it's really cool to understand it better. And it's like, oh, man, I'm very excited to watch it. I think I will have to watch it. I'll message some friends to see if we can organize a daytime viewing.
Yes. Do you hug a pillow while you...
100%. Yeah. I can't watch it at my friend's house because he has a cat. And if that cat sits on my lap and there's a jump scare, that cat's gone.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, Alex, if somebody did want to learn more about Aliens, where are you going to send them?
Well, they should watch the movie, right? And I'm sure they already have. But if you haven't, there are three versions of it.
Oh, whoa. Why? Yeah. What?
So there's the theatrical cut.
Okay.
And that's actually the one I'd recommend.
Okay.
It is super tight. Then there is a special edition, which has 14 minutes of extra stuff that does explain some things, but none of that is honestly necessary. I think it drags the movie down a little bit.
Okay.
I would maybe do that on a second watching
and
do the theatrical cut for the first watch. And then on the internet, you can actually find a version where they have taken the extended version, the extended cut, and then they've spliced in lost cuts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there were scenes that were filmed, but then discarded completely. They were never finished in post-production. No music was added. You can only find them in like super blurry quality, and they put those into the extended version. So I have the extended version. Oh, wow. But that's only for the real fans. I have it. I've watched it. It's that's not worth watching unless you're like a real Aliens nerd.
You. So basically you.
Basically me. An audience of one.
Question. Is it on Netflix?
It's not on Netflix.
Boo.
No. You're going to have to go find that somewhere else. Right. In addition to actually watching the movie, there is also a documentary, The Making of Aliens.
See, I probably really enjoy that.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. It's on YouTube, but it is 3 hours long.
I'm not even kidding.
Well, they go into a lot of detail. Okay. And there's a lot of cast interviews and crew interviews, and the whole T-cart thing is in there. It's a phenomenal watch, but it is 3 fucking hours. And for those who can't be bothered with that, I'm going to include a link to an article that covers the shit show that was the making of Aliens, because that's a very, very entertaining story.
I mean I really do love the making of, like,
right?
It's like the making of Citizen Kane. That movie is a far more interesting movie than Citizen Kane is. I'm sorry.
I believe you. I should watch it. I saw Citizen Kane finally last year.
Yeah, Citizen Kane doesn't work for modern audiences because all of the tropes that Citizen Kane invented, we're used to now. And so it's not revolutionary for us. It's just like pretty standard. But it was revolutionary for us. Anyways, this is cinema film nerd talk now.
Alrighty, so dear listener, what do you think of Aliens? Are you gonna watch it? Are you gonna eat before you watch it? Or are you not gonna eat before you watch it? In any case, did we leave out something awesome about Aliens, or do you have any questions about it? Write us a comment at our Instagram, Electric Enthusiasm, or our website, electricenthusiasm.com. We'd love to hear from you.
I have a moment of meta for us today. We talked about the break between Christmas and New Year's, that weird week where you kind of become your sofa. Instead of becoming a sofa, I went to an event called The Snowball in Stockholm. I had a great time, and I had an example of enthusiasms in action.
Oh, that's awesome.
As you know, dear listeners, me and Alex are both dancers. We both do the Lindy Hop. But there's another dance style that's associated with our dance, which Alex and I have both tried. I understand that Alex doesn't like this dance as much, called Balboa.
It's fine.
So here's the thing. Like, I really like Balboa. I think it's a really fun dance, but I'm not super great at it. But I love watching it. And I wanted to share this clip with you. This is from the Balboa competition. Mm-hmm. We're about to watch a dancer. I honestly don't remember her partner's name because I feel really terrible. I did not remember it. Her name is Amy Liu, and we're here to watch Amy Liu.
I know Amy.
You do?
I do.
I'm obsessed with her.
She's fantastic.
I love her. So can we just watch a little bit of Amy's dancing? This is in the finals of the Open Balboa Mix and Match at Snowball 2020. Go. Ugh. That leg! The leg!
Ah, that's amazing!
So musical!
Oh, she's so great.
She is so great.
Whoa, the slides.
Right? And she just seems to float.
Beautiful.
It's Whoa. So cool.
Oh, that's hilarious. Whoa.
So cool.
So cool.
I don't know if you could tell, but on that she winked.
I could not tell.
Oh. Yeah, that crowd cheering, you can hear me cheering. It's because she winked and I think I melted.
Nice.
But that's it. Just watch her spotlight.
Beautiful.
So that's Amy Liu. So one of the things I love about her dancing is that apparently in the Balboa community, I heard this through the grapevine, she's considered to be too much.
Fuck that.
Exactly. I think she's incredible. She's so expressive, and I feel like a lot of times, particularly in Balboa, like, I feel Balboa is very heteronormative. I feel like Balboa is very like, men are dominant, women are submissive, and men lead and women follow. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of dancers who do push back against that. I think Amy Liu is one of them. Her expression as a dancer, her taking the space, her performance, her wink, her, it was so great. It was so wonderful. And as we know, there's no such thing as being too much.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, enthusiasm number 7, be enthusiastic about people, tell folks you like them.
Yeah.
I remember after watching that, I was like, I need to go find Amy Liu and I need to tell her how incredible she is.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me, my friend Ellie, a day and a half to find her because Snowball is a big event and there's multiple rooms and she disappeared. By the time we found her again, both of us like immediately, the second upon seeing her, we ran across a room to find her and just tell her that she is inspiring and incredible and that for us, she is not too much. She is the perfect amount of much.
Beautiful.
And that we just needed her to know that she's the type of, like, at least I don't do Balboa a lot, but when I do Balboa, I want to do this kind of Balboa.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's phenomenal. For whatever reason, I keep running into her and her partner, Alex.
Yes.
At the same events. I actually criticized her at the European Balboa Festival.
Scandal.
Yeah, because they entered all the competitions and I found them at one point like, hey, are you guys going to leave any prizes for the other participants? Because they basically won everything because they're amazing dancers, both of them.
They're so good. And like, she was so gracious and so lovely. Immediately took a selfie with us. I need to find her on the social internet so we can be friends and so I can get that selfie.
Yeah.
Amy
and Alex Balboa something on Instagram.
I will hunt them down.
Thank you
for that.
They're fantastic people.
But yeah, and it was such a lovely experience because I was so inspired by her dancing and so excited to see it. And I was so pleased that she was sharing her dancing with the world. And then when I eventually found her and told her all of this, she was really like, she obviously appreciated the love, appreciated a little bit of extra support. And it made her feel good. It made me feel good. And so it's an example of how to live a little bit more enthusiastically by following our enthusiasms.
That's fantastic. And I was just going to say how awesome it is that you didn't just, you know, you couldn't find her in the moment. So you spent a day and a half hunting her down.
Oh, 100%. When I couldn't find her that night, I was like, number one priority, find her before this week is out.
Yeah.
To tell her she's awesome.
Yeah. That was 2 enthusiasms in one and I love it. Fantastic.
Highly recommend. Tell people they're awesome. It makes you feel good. It makes them feel good.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a roundup from a previous episode.
Ooh, what you got?
Yeah. So Lisa Nuggle just passed away.
Yeah.
For those who haven't heard the episode yet, she was this amazing, badass, feminist,
so cool
writer, journalist in Denmark. She passed away a few days ago at the age of 105.
So impressive.
That's of course sad, but I saw 2 things that I thought was awesome and just in her spirit. There was a newspaper front page that read, laughing and drinking port wine until the end. There was one of her friends, also a famous Danish woman called Lone Kühlmann, had spent a lot of time with her between Christmas and New Year's laughing and drinking port. I thought that was just phenomenal.
That's a good way to go.
Exactly. And then also basically said that she was done. She'd had enough, you know, she was ready to go, and that's what happened. The newspapers also reported on her funeral arrangements. She'll be buried on January 12th from a church in Copenhagen and then interred at a cemetery in Roskilde, where she's from. And she has planned her funeral meticulously. And she's stipulated there will be like lots of beer, lots of food, no crying. And her only regret is that she can't be there herself.
I thought that
was just phenomenal and very much in her spirit and how we should all aim to go when we go.
Yes, I like that. I like that a lot. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course. Katie, if somebody liked this episode, what other episode of ours do you think they'd also enjoy?
I mean, Parasites is a good place to go.
There are some real horror stories there as well.
Yep.
Not as bad as Alien, but they're up there.
But they're reels, which makes it worse.
kind of does.
If you're into sci-fi things and you want to stay in the sci-fi realm, but maybe different genres or different mediums,
mm-hmm.
we have books like the Wayfarer series.
Yeah, the Vorkosigan series.
And we also have video games like Bioshock.
Yeah, also lots of Parasites in Bioshock.
Exactly.
And we should also say that if you're like you like sci-fi but you wanted like more feel good,
yeah,
the Wayfarer series is
it's for the squishy marshmallow sci-fi lover in
exactly,
your life.
Exactly. And if you're badass and you just want to see lots of blood and guts, then Aliens is your jam.
Yeah.
And BioShock, the game, is fantastic.
And BioShock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautifully.
Cool.
So, dear listener, we hope you enjoyed sharing some of our enthusiasms in this episode. Please visit our website, electricenthusiasm.com, or find us on Instagram, at electricenthusiasm, to discover more episodes or to leave a comment.
And now, dear listener, go find some kind of hair-raising carnival ride that never stops. I just love such a good quote. Such a good quote.